So, I'm very pleased to be able to give you this update on ORCID. I should tell you that I'm probably going to show you some things that even the ORCID participants don't even know about yet, because we're having a big meeting tomorrow. But I won't go too far. So for those of you who are attending ORCID tomorrow, by all means, stay. Okay, let's get into this. What is ORCID? Well, first of all, it is a loose confederation of groups that are interested in solving the problem about author and contributor name ambiguity. This is a big problem. I actually, when I started this with my colleague over Dave Kochalko over at Thomson Reuters, I had no idea how big this problem was. I think it was Craig Van Dyke who was in the room. He said, we actually might have a tiger by its tail, how big this problem is. And that's why some people have asked me, well, why isn't this Crossref? Why isn't Crossref solving this? Well, actually, it's bigger than that. It's bigger than publishers. It's actually all about funding agencies. It's all about institutions. It's all about the researchers themselves. So we crafted this mission statement, which I won't read to you, but the point is to create a central registry of these unique identifiers and try to make it open and transparent between ORCID, the universe that's out there that needs to use these, and also other ID schemes, because there are many. And we'll touch on that as we go. Now, time frames. We aim to have a not-for-profit organization. We're aiming for a 501c3 organization, meaning it's good for science and good for the world. We're in the throes of putting that together. We plan to have a prototype that will be put out to a test group in and around June. And then we hope to have a production model, hopefully sometime this year. Now, how do you do that? Well, first of all, you have to have an organization. And I'm proud to say that we do have a really rapidly evolving organization that has a technical working group, it has a business policy working group, it has a marketing group, it has a legal group. And you might say, well, you know, that's a lot of overhead. Well, the reality is if you want to get an initiative going, you actually need that kind of overhead. Let's move on. When we started the initiative back in November of last year, we had about 20-odd people, 20-odd organizations that were interested. And then in around December, actually at around the innovations meeting, we got a lot more, you know, play, because we came out with a very small little release, and there's about 30. Well, I'm actually proud to say that we're 90-plus now. And they're not all publishers. I mean, you could look at this list. This is not everybody, by the way. So if you're not on this list, I apologize. But, you know, you've got small publishers, big publishers. You've got groups like the Wellcome Trust who are actively engaged. Groups like Crossref, obviously, that's actively engaged. You've got lots of universities and all over the world. I mean, this is not, again, just about North American publishing. This is not a small-scale thing. This is a big problem. And actually, when I was at one of the various meetings that I've attended and spoken, with a better voice, about ORCID, I learned, actually, that there's four times and four times only that researchers pay attention to their IDs. And you could argue that, you know, that this is a true soundbite or not. But the first one is when they get associated with an institution, right? So it's when they, you know, become a professor or a researcher or what have you. The second is when they go for their grant for some kind of research. The third is when they want to get published, okay? And the fourth is when somebody inappropriately uses their ID. Okay, so those are the four. And we've actually tried to address each one of those within ORCID as we're going forward. So about ORCID and how it's constructed, we didn't want to develop ORCID in a vacuum, and there was already an existing system that we felt was pretty good as a starting point, and that was Thomson Reuters' Researcher ID system. So what we did is we took a snapshot of that, created it, and put it into a separate sandbox. So Thomson Reuters has been really good about that. So basically they still have Researcher ID, and that will still exist. But this is a new breed. This is basically taking all the technology that they've already used and cloning it and putting it aside. And so in here you can see that you've got the number, you've got names, you've got persistent URLs, all the things that were already within Researcher ID. We're going to reuse with an ORCID. Well, why would we do that? Well, why not? I mean, it's already something that's successful. It's already something that needs to grow. And we need a good base to build upon. But we know that we want to go further. And I'll start talking about that. So here's some of our drivers. So the first thing is that it's all about the author. It's all about the researcher. And they could create a new ORCID ID, or importantly, they could import profile information from an existing system. Okay. And also, the intention is to allow them to export this profile information. Okay. But the stakeholders ultimately are researchers, institutions, publishers, and funding agents. At least at the moment, that's what we felt. Once you start talking about IDs, however, you do get immediately into privacy information. I mean, this is all about people. You know, I thought it was bad when I was involved with Crossref, okay, because you have all these publishers worrying about legal issues. Well, now you got people and their email addresses and their phone numbers, potentially, whatever there might be. So we have to be very careful here. So as you can imagine, the legal group is spending a lot of time dealing with this alongside actually a separate privacy group. And then, as I mentioned, ORCID may be linked to other registries. The most amazing thing to me was how many other registries have tried this before and how many other little silos that are out there. And so one of the things that ORCID said, well, why don't we recognize those? Why don't we play in those? I mean, in a similar way to you heard some of the other speakers today talk about APIs. Why don't we leverage that? And we'll show you some ideas that we've got. Okay, so some of you might have seen these. These are just some quick wireframes that actually give credit to Jeff Builder of Crossref that he put together. But here's an idea of where could ORCID play? Well, we imagine that ORCID could play initially maybe at the manuscript submission system. So every time somebody submits a manuscript in, shouldn't you ask the question, do you already have an ORCID ID? And if you do, great, just type it in. And we'll pull in that information directly out of ORCID and save you from having to retype all that information. Okay? Or, no, I don't. Okay? In which case, then it leads you off and you're allowed to create one. So, or, right, you know, institutions can also possibly put things into the ORCID system. And so if you have, if you imagine an institution will load up all of their professors, the researcher could come along and say, yeah, this I agree with this, I tick mark all these things. And I actually, or this is slightly wrong and I want to merge together the profile information. The researcher has to be the ultimate handler, provided that they can do so. Because you get questions about dead authors and all sorts of things. But the idea here is that the researcher owns their ID. Others can contribute to it, but the researcher is actually the one that actively says, yes, I want to allow that to come into my record. And metadata importing, as I already mentioned. I'm very proud to say that all of these groups have been active participants in an ORCID. So Scopus and the ProQuest folks, the DoAuth Resolver, the RepEc guys, the economics group, OCLC, all have systems. But they all realize that each one of those is a silo. And eventually, you need one thing that's going to actually pull it all together. And so our idea was, why don't you just set up a profile wizard? This is a concept whereby I don't have an ORCID, but I do have a Scopus ID. Again, the user can pull that information directly out of Scopus and into ORCID. Okay, privacy issues, all sorts of business issues come about. This is part of why you create an organization to help solve some of this stuff. Okay, now provenance. This one is very interesting because actually what happens is a lot of times people don't know how the data got there. Okay. You as a publisher or you as a user of this information don't understand how is this information created. Okay? So one of the things that we're experimenting with is to actually make this transparent. Say, this particular information about affiliations about Brown University here, okay, actually the author said, yes, I once was at Brown. Okay? Or yes, I did, I am part of the Society of Psychoceramics. Or, I was part of Bowdoin, right? And additionally, you go a step further, you could actually have Brown say, yep, that person was a professor, okay? So these kinds of things could become very important. And we started to play around with ideas about, maybe different levels. So maybe you only want to download or interact with the things that the author has said, yes, these are mine. And maybe, but it still might be interesting for you to know if somebody else actually uploaded some information, but it hasn't been given the same provenance. Other ideas here. So same kind of things could go with content, right? Right. So again, you could have the author say things, but if the publisher didn't come back around through maybe Crossref, just simply uploading that information to Crossref, the publisher hasn't confirmed it. So wouldn't the record be better if the author is saying yes, and actually the publisher has confirmed it because you can link it up to Crossref. Okay? Therefore, giving the best transparency to where all this data came from and that it's been confirmed. Okay. One of the biggest issues that stands within ORCID is all about disambiguation. And, you know, there's mass disambiguation that we're doing an R&D experiment with. And this is, okay, you've got the huge silo information that is Scopus. You've got another silo, which is AuthResolver, another silo that's Thomson Reuters, another one's RepEx, et cetera. How can we take all these big bins of profiles and resolve them down, okay, so that we have one ORCID which matches them all up? Okay, so this is an experiment. It's ongoing today. And I'll give you a bit of time frames in a moment. So there's different algorithms that we're actually playing with. There's one that's an emerging standard out there, which is VIAF, which has been done with Library of Congress and OCLC and a couple others. There's ProQuest. And then there's this group out in Europe called Occam, which is also has some open source technology that we're experimenting with. So besides just trying to do, you know, take the researcher ID system of Thomson, we're also extending it. We're going more because we know that to have the killer app, if you will, that you have to do more. So just to show you that it's not all vaporware, we actually, and this is what the ORCID folks haven't seen yet, the technical working group has actually been building this sandbox environment. And so it actually does exist, and it is branded with ORCID, and it's separate from Thomson Reuters. Literally, the boxes are separate. And actually, much more interestingly, whereas Researcher ID connects its bibliographic information with Web of Science, Thomson has disconnected that, and our bibliographic information is now Crossref. So we've actually tied that up. So if you are an author, you can say, here's my publication record, and what it's actually polling is not Web of Science, but actually it's polling Crossref through APIs, as you heard before. And that actually works today. We haven't opened it up for test, widespread testing, but the technical working group has access to that today. And so here, you know, you just get more information, basically. And the biggest question that I've heard as I've been talking to people outside is, well, how do I get more information? How do I join this thing? It's really, really simple. You go to ORCID.org, you get a page like that. On the right-hand side there, it says register. You click, you fill out a form, and you're going to get an email back that said, you know, we'd love to have you, and here's all you got to do. Just, A, are you willing to be listed on our site, okay? And optionally, if you want to, give us your logo, but you don't have to. We sort of feel that you want to be listed on our site because otherwise, you know, why bother? And then what we do is we give you access to our wiki. Our wiki has hundreds of documents about this initiative and building, and we plan on doing more and more over time. And actually, when we go to that June release of our prototype, well, trust me, we're going to make a lot of noise about it. Thank you.